Welcome to the Legacy House Podcast. Our mission as a church is to equip people to know God, live free, and find purpose. We express the mission of our church through adoration, biblical teaching, creativity, and discipleship. We have prepared this message for you, and we know God is going to use it to minister to you wherever you are and in whatever situation you're going through.
If you got your Bibles, if you don't have your Bible, you know, run to your bedroom and grab it, or go get it off the coffee table, wherever it is. Grab your Bible, grab something you can take notes with today. I'd encourage you to take notes this morning because I believe the Lord is going to speak to you. If you've got your Bible, go with me to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11 is where we're going to go this morning, and I'm reading out of the Message translation today. If you want to follow along with me in that translation, you can, or maybe you've got your own favorite translation. Feel free to follow along there as well. So the Message translation in Acts chapter 11, it says this. It says, "The news traveled fast, and in no time the leaders and friends back in Jerusalem begin to hear about the fact that non-Jewish outsiders were now in. When Peter got back to Jerusalem, some of his old associates, concerned about circumcision, called him on the carpet. So what do you think that you're doing, rubbing shoulders with that crowd, eating what is prohibited, and ruining your good name?" We're going to pause here for a minute, okay? I love this verse. I love so much about what it says. The book of Acts is a phenomenal book. If you've never spent time in the book of Acts, I would encourage you to do so. I think it's one of those books that if you haven't spent time in it and you do spend time in it, it's probably going to become one of your favorite books. Really, especially, I feel like in this season, there's a bit of a pioneering spirit throughout the entire book of Acts. And I think you see that just chapter on chapter, verse on verse. Okay, so Acts chapter 11, kind of what begins to happen now is you see this first century church, the New Testament church is really beginning to grow and expand. In the same way that it's expanding and growing, it's not all just peachy keen, but they're actually coming under a lot of resistance and persecution. Persecution from non-believers and persecution from religious believers as well. We've probably felt that before in our own life, right? Like, let's be honest. We've probably felt persecution from both people who called themselves Christians and even people who didn't call themselves Christians. And so this is kind of what begins to happen here. The crowd is beginning to get frustrated at Peter, the other disciples, the new converts. They're getting frustrated at Peter because all of a sudden they're hearing about this crowd of people, the Gentile people. They're hearing about the crowd of people who were once outsiders who are now just in on this thing. Let me ask you this. You ever had an item of clothing that just fit horribly? Like, you ever had like a shirt? Maybe you go to like one of those like we all do, you go to a discount kind of clothing store, you know, where it's like overstocked clothes items or kind of misprinted items. And it can seem like, wow, why am I getting such a great deal on this shirt? But then you realize that like one side of the shirt is like 4 inches shorter than the other side of the shirt. And you're like, oh, that's why. This shirt makes zero sense whatsoever. It's kind of like that sometimes I feel like in our own Christian walk or relationship with the Lord, where we can get bad fitting clothes and it just begins to be uncomfortable. Like, it can just be one of those things where you're just like, man, this doesn't feel right. And you're just pulling at it. Maybe one of the shoulders is short, but the other shoulder is long. And it's just because it's something different. Like it's not made symmetrical, right? Like each shoulder's not the same length. The hem kind of does a weird up and down pattern. And it's just not normal for us. Like, we don't know what to do with it because it just doesn't fit the way that we're used to something fitting. It's kind of almost what you begin to see here happening in the New Testament church. Is all of a sudden, like, they had had a thing, a kind of a way of church life that had been normal for thousands of years, had been traditions passed down from their forefathers in the Old Testament to them now. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, or what seemed to be out of nowhere, it was very clear Jesus prophesied it the whole way through. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, these people who were outsiders now begin to just be in on what God was doing. I think in the same way that it can feel sometimes with with a piece of clothing that's maybe somewhat stitched in a weird way, or maybe even just a new pair of clothes. You ever got like a new shirt, new pair of pants, and they're just so stiff and uncomfortable? Like you've got to wear them, or like shoes, you've got to wear them like countless times before they're finally like, they feel like they fit and like move with your foot. I think sometimes like for us in seasons like this, when we come into a new moment, a bit of a new reality for us, it can feel uncomfortable and clunky trying to figure out, how am I supposed to be right now? Like maybe for you in this season, you've asked yourself that. Like maybe for you, you've asked like, how am I like supposed to be? Like have you ever gotten to that point where you're like, you don't even feel like anymore, like you're praying eloquent prayers or asking like eloquent questions to the Lord. You're just asking like any question, like any way the words will come out of your mouth. That's the way that you say it. I found myself in this season and in others praying like, Lord, what am I supposed to just be as a person? I think the scripture in Acts chapter 11 actually gives us a lot of insight to that. I think it really gives us a lot of good understanding about what God is trying to do in my life and yours, right? Like this morning, as you're sitting there, maybe with a friend or maybe you're sitting there with your family or your spouse or even just as yourself, I believe today that the Lord wants to begin to show you how to be in this season. How am I supposed to be right now? Have you found yourself asking that? Like seriously, like what am I supposed to do? What do I do when I can't do nothing? Like when I can't do anything? Like what do I do when these things are out of my control? Like how am I supposed to be right now? I love the story. It goes on down. So Peter begins to reply. It says in verse 4, and he begins to lay out step by step what had happened. He said, look, recently I was in the town of Joppa and I fell into a trance and I saw a vision. He says, something like a huge blanket lowered by ropes at its four corners came down out of heaven and it settled on the ground in front of me. Milling around on the blanket were farm animals, wild animals, reptiles, birds, you name it. It was there. Fascinated, he said, I took it all in. He said, then I heard a voice, go to it, Peter. He said, kill and eat. And I said, oh no, master. I've never seen so much and tasted food that wasn't kosher. Then the voice spoke again. He said, if God says it's okay, it's okay. This happened three times and the blanket was suddenly pulled back into the sky. Verse 11, stick with me here for just a minute. It says, just then three men showed up at the house where I was staying. Sent from Caesarea to get me. The Spirit told me to go with him, no questions asked. So I went with them, I and six friends, to the man who had sent for me. And he said he told us how he had seen an angel right in front of his house, real as his next door neighbor, saying, send to Joppa and get Simon, the one called Peter, and he'll tell you something that will save your life. In fact, it will save the life of you and everyone you care for. Man, that's the kind of revelation we need right now. Like, that's the kind of word from God you and I need right now in this season. Man, like, we need to hear from heaven, right? Like, we need, like, God to speak in this season. We need him to speak right now in our life. And he says, look, he has this vision, right? And he says that there was going to be these men who would come to him. And when they came to him, he was just supposed to go with them, no questions asked. So he goes with them. They begin to tell Peter about a vision that they had, about an angel of the Lord, right? And he said that the Lord said that you've got a word for me that will save my life, and it's going to save the lives of everyone that I know. Can I give you a couple things this morning really quickly today that I believe we can see in this scripture that I believe we're going to begin to help us understand how we have been called to be right now? Number one is this, is that nobody is withheld from community with Jesus. Can I say that to you again today? Nobody is withheld from community with Jesus. I mean, this is good news today. Because the good thing about this is that it can feel like God in moments of our life is distant. Like the prayer's hitting the roof and it's coming right back down. But what begins to happen and develop in this story is that these religious leaders and these religious zealots, they were having a hard time understanding how the one who used to be an outcast was now the one being not only accepted by Christ, but they were in. They were a part. They were as fully a part of what God was doing as the person who had been there from the beginning. Can I encourage you that maybe in this season, you have found your relationship with the Lord again. Maybe God has begun to speak to you again and you've begun to like reconnect with God. Your spirit man has begun to be alive again. You begin to hear his voice. You're finding yourself praying prayers like, Lord, I don't know what you want. I don't know what you're going to do, but God, I just need you to do something. Like, I need to hear something, God. Like, I know you're out there, Lord. So, Lord, speak to me. Like, maybe you found yourself praying that in this moment. But then I think often for a lot of us, as soon as we begin to pray those prayers, it begins to feel like the enemy can quickly come in. It can begin to shut down that voice in our life and be like, you know what? Look, hey, God's out here trying to solve the coronavirus. Like, he doesn't have time to hear about your work schedule and your reduced hours. Like, he's not into that right now. Like, he's solving a global pandemic. You know, actually, it's in Ephesians chapter 4 that it begins to tell us that we shouldn't worry about anything, but pray about everything. The Message begins to talk about, in the Message translation, it says that we would allow prayer to reshape our worry. Man, can I encourage you in this season to begin to allow prayer to reshape the worries of your life? Allow prayer to begin to reshape the focus of your heart, what you see in the natural and in the spirit, because this is how we've got to begin to be in this season. We've got to begin to understand. We've got to begin to allow it to settle in my mind that nobody is withheld from community with Jesus. It doesn't matter today what you've done. God is willing for you to come back into relationship with him. Not only is he willing, honestly, like let's say this, not only is he willing, but he's waiting. You know what I mean? Like, let that just like sit in this, like, I used to hear, there used to be a pastor who he'd talk about, there's a difference between like a pointless pause. You know, you ever had seen somebody publicly communicate and they just stop and they don't say anything and you can tell like they're panicking, like maybe big beads of sweat come up on their forehead. There's a difference between a pointless pause and then a pregnant pause. Where it's like, there's something there under the surface of all of this. You've got to begin to let it settle in your mind that not only is God willing to accept you back, but God is waiting to accept you back. This season for you and this season for me, it is a season that we have to be reminded of the fact that nobody is withheld from community with Jesus. Jesus is waiting on you. Let me give you the second thing. Second thing is this, is that difficult moments require a deeper encounter. Difficult moments require a deeper encounter with God. Peter had a vision from the Lord. That's how he knew how to respond. He had heard from God about the men who were going to come visit and what his response was supposed to be in that moment. If Peter wouldn't have heard, it would have been far more difficult for him to be able to respond. I'm just going to let you know, I'm going to be real honest with you today. This is a difficult season. But the difficulty of this season, it doesn't have to be overwhelming or crushing or paralyzing. Actually, when we begin to experience and feel difficulty inside of our life, really what needs to begin to transpire and take place is that I begin to realize that that's an indicator. It's a beacon. It's like a flashing red light from the Holy Spirit that's telling me there's something in this moment, there's something in this place right now that needs to begin to go deeper inside of me. Like my relationship with the Lord needs to begin to submarine down into the deeper levels of God's kingdom to begin to hear his voice. I just want to let you know today that the Holy Spirit desires to speak to you. He's got something he wants to speak to you this morning. I believe if sitting right there on your couch today, if you'll begin to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you, you'll pause and say, Lord, this is a difficult moment. It's a difficult moment for me or my family or my city or even this world. But Lord, I'm not praying that God, you would just remove the moment. But Lord, I'm praying for a deeper encounter. Lord, I'm praying to hear your voice. I need to hear the Holy Spirit inside of me. What is he saying to you today? What does he say about your worry? What does he say about the fear? What does he say about your future, about your job? You understand, God doesn't want to just only speak on the level of like the cosmos, but God wants to speak about this coming week for you. Like God isn't just trying to speak solely about a global pandemic, but God is also trying to speak about the worry of your own heart and life. Man, isn't that the good news of Jesus? Is that he didn't just come to deal on a global level, but he came to deal on an intimate and personal level. He knows you. He knows the hairs that are on your head. He knows the desire of your heart. He knows the worry that you're battling and wrestling with today. But here's the good news, right? Number one was the fact that we know that nobody is withheld from community with Jesus. Understand, the understanding and relationship is built from community. It's the family element of Christ. It's the reality that God's church has always looked broader than the four walls of a building, but it's looked like men and women being honest about their fear, being honest about their faith, being honest about what they're feeling in this moment, and at the same time saying, Lord, I'm relying on you. I'm going to strengthen others, and I'm going to stand with others, but Lord, I'm relying on you to be the voice in my life. It says, look down with me. In verse 18, it says, hearing all of it laid out like that, they quieted down. And then, as it sank in, it says, they've started praising God. They said, it's really happened. It's that God has broken through to the other nations and opened life to them. Difficult moments are going to require a deeper encounter. I hope today that as you're in your house, maybe sitting in your car, in a swing on your front yard, wherever you are, my hope today is that what this would begin to produce in our lives is an encounter with him. An encounter with the Messiah who loves us, who calls us by our name. Make you think about that today, is that God, like, he knows your name. And not only does he know your name today, but he's calling you by it. You're just like, maybe this might be weird for you, but hey, you know what? You're in your own house. You're in your own space. Can you just say your name out loud? That's what God calls you. I think we lose sometimes the personal element that God desires to have with us. We lose sight of the fact that he doesn't just say, son. it's like when you're a parent and it can feel clunky sometimes, or it feels so weird when Harbor is notorious for doing this. She'll come in the room, and if you don't hear her the first time, she'll call, instead of calling me dad, she'll call me Curtis. And I'm like, it immediately gets your attention because it's your name. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because the other one has just become like, you know, as a parent, especially as a parent of twins, the noise kind of just gets to the point that it all sounds the same. And so to break up the noise and to break up what's normal, she'll say, Curtis. And I'm like, whoa, hold on. Who are you calling? Like, because she knows that there's something about, like, your name, she knows that there's something about saying my name that will get my attention. Man, how true is it for the Lord as well, that he knows the exact same thing, that if he will call you by your name, that it'll begin to, it'll like shake something inside of you, right? Like, he doesn't just call you son or daughter or an heir of the kingdom. That doesn't feel very personal, but he calls me Curtis. He calls me by my name. He calls you by your name. And in those moments of intimacy and fellowship and relationship, we can begin to go deeper with him. He can begin to prophesy. He can begin to speak his word into our life. Lastly is this, and I'm going to close. I think this is the last way that we've got to begin to be in this. First way is that we've got to understand we're not isolated right now, but we're actually in community. No one is withheld from community with Jesus. Honestly, we could say the fact that true spiritual community, true Christian community, it is or can only take place if there's first the community with Jesus, right? Like, I think a lot of times, honestly, we've tried to synthetically create a Christian community, and we've never included Jesus in it at all. We've just included similar thoughts, similar beliefs, similar schedules, or similar doctrinal statements. But true Spirit-filled community can only first be rooted in a community with Jesus, a personal, familial community with Jesus. The second way that we're going to be is that we're going to have to understand that to be how Christ has called us to be in this difficult moment, it's going to require us to go deeper. And last is that we've got to begin to understand this, is that nothing is off limits. Nothing is off limits. Acts 11, that last verse, verse 18, it says, it really happened. It really happened. God has broken through to the other nations and opened them to life. I'm going to tell you something today. God is breaking through. He's breaking through. You need to say it over yourself this morning. You need to say it over yourself as you sit there. You need to text somebody right now. Maybe you can't high five people in your house. Maybe you're there by yourself right now. You need to text five people and high five them right now through your phone and let them know that God is breaking through. God is breaking through in your situation today. God is breaking through in your spirit today. God's breaking through your worry this morning. Like, he's breaking through the fear that you're experiencing right now. God's breaking through that loneliness that you might be wrestling with in your own heart. God's breaking through your apathy today, through your like stagnant spirit today. He's breaking through, not just so that he can kick down the door and prove his divinity, but he's breaking through to bring life into you, to bring life into your heart, to bring life back into your soul today. Is it possible that what's happening in our world and what's happening in our city is because God desires to bring life again, that he desires to bring hope again? He desires to bring restoration. I think we're sitting at the edge of the next great awakening, not just in our country, but around the world. I believe hundreds of thousands of people are going to begin to return to the Lord through this season because God is breaking through. He's using difficult moments to reveal the deeper intimacy, the deeper nature, the deeper purpose of his heart and life. Look, nothing's off limits to God. God will use anything. God can use anything to reveal who he is, to reveal his love, to reveal his character, to reveal his nature. Man, God is for you today. He's walking with you. Nothing's off limits. God is breaking through to the other nations. And he's opened them up to life. I love there, he doesn't say he opened them up to judgment. I love there, he doesn't say he opened them up to frustration. But he opened them up to life. Anytime we begin to feel the Holy Spirit convicting an area of our life that needs to change or grow, it's not so that God can oppress you. Please don't have bad theology and miss what God is doing. It's not so that God can oppress you, but it's so that God can liberate you with his perfect love, so that he can lead you in a restorative life, so that your prayer can become simple and your worship can become pure. That's my prayer for you. My prayer is that your prayer would become simple and your worship would become pure. God, I'm worried. God, I'm wondering. God, I feel like I've been waiting for years. Let our prayer be simple and our worship be pure. We just sing a song to the Lord. That's why we did worship the way that we did today, is because we just want it to be worshipful. We don't want to miss the purity of this moment with the problems that we face. God is breaking through your situation to bring you life. He's breaking through your situation to reveal who he is. Can I pray for you today? Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that in the endless stream of questions that we face right now, but Lord, we've
faced for a long time. But I pray that you would be the truth in this moment. Lord, I pray that we'd be reminded today that we're not withheld from community with you, or that you want to take us deeper into your spirit and presence. Lord, that nothing, no possibility, no idea or dream is off limits. But Lord, you desire to begin to build a dream inside of us again. You desire to remove the limitation of our flesh and engage the possibility of our spirit so that we can encounter you. Father, we love you. We give you praise and honor for what you're doing. And in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. You can find more info and resources from Legacy House on our website, www.legacyhouse.life, or by following us on social media under the handle @LegacyHouseFL. Don't miss next week's podcast, From Our House to Yours.